We're going to turn to the scripture reading that we have for today, and it's Genesis and chapter 21, verses 22 to 34. Genesis chapter 21, verses 22 to 34. And here we have another story of Abraham and Abimelech. And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, spoke to Abraham, saying, God is with you in all that you do. Now therefore swear to me by God that you will not deal falsely with me, with my offspring, or with my posterity, but that according to the kindness that I have done to you, you will do to me and to the land in which you have dwelt. And Abraham said, I will swear. Then Abraham rebuked Abimelech because of a well of water, which Abimelech's servants had seized. And Abimelech said, I don't know who has done this thing. You did not tell me, nor had I heard of it until today. So Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech, and the two of them made a covenant. And Abraham set seven ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. Then Abimelech asked Abraham, what is the meaning of these seven ewe lambs which you have set by themselves? He said, you will take these seven ewe lambs from my hand, that they may be my witness that I have dug this well. Therefore he called the place Beersheba, because the two of them swore an oath there. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. So Abimelech rose with Phicol, the commander of his army, and they returned to the land of the Philistines. Then Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and they called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham stayed in the land of the Philistines many days. We thank God for his word this morning. We're going to turn to those verses that we read in Genesis 21 and verses 22 to 34. As we explore the life of Abraham in these verses this morning, to begin with, we can learn lessons from Abraham as he enters into a treaty with Abimelech. And we can also learn from him as he addresses an area of conflict with Abimelech. And finally, we can learn from him as we see how throughout Abraham was conscious of the Lord, the everlasting God. And I've chosen the hymns this morning to reflect on our everlasting God. In verses 22 and 23, we find Abimelech asking for a peace treaty with Abraham. Although Abimelech was the king of Gerar, and powerful and wealthy, he was very conscious of the fact that God was blessing Abraham. In fact, in the first verse we read, he said to Abraham, God is with you in all that you do. God is with you in all that you do. Now, it may be that the visible blessing that Abimelech saw being bestowed on Abraham made him very nervous and fearful. Fearful that Abraham might want to expand the area that he occupied and encroach upon his territory. And so in verse 22, he approached Abraham with a view to making a formal peace treaty. I find it very interesting that he took with him Phicol, the commander of his army. Was this a gentle reminder to Abraham that he was serious and not playing games, or even to be a little bit intimidating? Whatever, he approached Abraham with a view to making a peace treaty with him. As Abimelech introduced the subject, his comments in verse 23 were quite revealing. He said to Abraham, "Now therefore, swear to me by God that you will not deal falsely with me." Now why do you think he said that? Swear to me that you will not deal falsely with me. But that you'll not deal falsely with me, with my offspring, or with my posterity, but that according to the kindness I have done to you, you will do to me and to the land in which you have dealt. I suspect the reason that he made this comment was that when Abraham had first ventured into the area, he had dealt in half-truths and deceived Abimelech, mentioning that Sarah was his sister, but failing to disclose that she was his wife. Now Abimelech wanted Abraham to give an honest undertaking that he would not deal falsely with him, or with his family, or with his posterity, and that he would return the kindness that he, Abimelech, had shown to Abraham and to his people when they first moved into the area. And Abraham said, "I swear." Some have questioned whether Abraham should have entered into a treaty with Abimelech in respect of the promised land, as God had promised to give that land to his seed. However, although God had promised to give the land to him, he had not yet done so. In fact, it would be another 400 years before that would happen. So at this point in time, Abraham was content to simply take possession of a well as a token of what God would give to his family in the future, and at the same time make a treaty with his earthly neighbour. When we come to learn lessons from that, I believe it's important to remember that although Abraham had an earthly promised land in his sights, according to the book of Hebrews, he had a bigger vision. He was on a journey, not just to an earthly promised land. He was journeying to the heavenly promised land. He had his eyes set on the new Jerusalem. But while he waited for the fulfillment of that vision, he sought to live to the glory of God in his immediate setting. And if we are the children of God, like Abraham, we are called to live for the glory of God in an unbelieving world, and to set our minds on things above. And let's pray that day by day we will be lights in the darkness. We will be the salt of the earth. That we will be an influence for good and the glory of God to all those around us. What other lessons can we learn at this point? Like Abraham, we should be known as the Lord's people. Despite all Abraham's failings, and all of us have failings, Abimelech knew that Abraham was a man of God. He said as much in verse 1, God is with you in all that you do. Do our neighbours know that we are the Lord's people? And maybe it would help them if they knew that he loved us despite our failings. And secondly, or thirdly, as the people of God, we should act with integrity. Sadly, Abraham had not always done that. And so Abimelech actually asked him to swear by God that he would do that in the future. And it is a sad state of affairs when those who do not love the Lord appear to act with more integrity than those who do. It's a very sad situation. So let us aim to deal honourably with those with whom we have dealings. There's also a lesson here about living at peace with others. Not just with the people of God, but with everyone. This lesson is repeated in Romans 12 and verse 18, where the Apostle Paul says, if it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live at peace with all men. And some see an indication of this in the words of Jesus, where he says, let both grow together until the harvest. There is going to be a division between those who are the Lord's and those who are not the Lord's at that final harvest. But until then, we are to grow together. I'm really thankful that currently Janet and I have a really good relationship with our neighbours. On either side we have families who do not know and love the Lord, but we have a really good relationship with them. And as a result, they know that we are followers of Jesus. And in fact, when they've gone through particular difficult situations, they've even come round and talked to us about them. So we are grateful and just pray that we may continue to be lights in the area where we are. And I know that's true with others of you as well. We can also learn a lesson here about entering into agreement with those around us. Matthew Henry writes, he, that is Abraham, is ready to enter into this league with Abraham, with Abimelech, finding him to be a man of honour and conscience, and that he had the fear of God before his eyes. We should not be afraid to do that. Formal agreements are part and parcel of life on earth. Nations, sections of society, and individuals all enter into agreements. There are peace treaties. There are business agreements, there are welfare agreements, and so on. Agreements not just with the people of God, but with the people around us. Agreements made honourably, and often legally binding. Needless to say, like Abraham here, we need to do our best to make sure that when we enter into agreements, we are entering into agreements with people who are honourable and that we are being honourable ourselves. Sometimes that doesn't work out that way. But that's what we should aim to do. There are lessons for us to learn then from Abraham, very practical lessons about entering into a treaty with Abimelech. And then secondly, we see Abraham resolving an area of conflict between them. Abraham's approach to Abraham in respect of a treaty provided Abraham with an opportunity to raise a grievance that he had had with Abimelech about a well that he had dug. And it appears that although Abraham had dug the well, that the servants of Abimelech had seized the well. Water was a priceless commodity in the area. And Abraham was keen to have access to the well that he had dug for himself and his family and his household and his flocks. We see an example of how key wells were in the area and conflicts that can arise at a wellhead in the story of Moses. You may remember that when he fled from Egypt and went to Midian, he found seven women there, the daughters of the priest of Midian, trying to get water from a well for their flocks. But the shepherds in the area came and drove them away. But Moses stood firm and stood up for those women and helped them water their flocks and subsequently married one of them. They were well matched. And here in Genesis 21, there had been a similar disagreement between the servants of Abraham and the servants of Abimelech. When Abraham raised the subject, it seems that Abimelech knew nothing about it. Since he's completely ignorant that there was a problem. And so he says in verse 26, I don't know who's done this thing. You didn't tell me, nor have I heard of it until today. Abimelech seems to suggest to Abraham that he should have raised the matter before. And I think this is a very important lesson for us to learn. How can a situation be remedied if both parties are not aware that it exists? And once Abimelech was aware of it, he was prepared to rectify the situation by including it in the covenant he was making with Abraham. The fact that Abraham had dug the well and had the right to use the well was embodied in the new agreement. No wonder how many people have felt aggrieved with someone or something they have said or done, and then discovered the other person was unaware of it. How many conflicts exist because of ignorance? It's good to address areas of conflict. You know, lots of people shy away from speaking up about areas of conflict. And many Christians do as well. They are reluctant to raise contentious issues. As far as Christians are concerned, I wonder whether this is because we are told to live at peace with all men and not to judge and so on. But I want to suggest to you this morning that resolving matters of conflict is a way of peace. It is possible, as we see here, to raise the issue in a neighbourly or brotherly way. And if we are nervous about doing so, we can seek help. It's not always possible. But here is an example of where it succeeded. And so Abraham and Abimelech resolved this area of conflict and added the well to their covenant agreement. Covenants in those days were often sealed by walking between the parts of animals that had been slaughtered and cut in half, and often saying something like, the Lord do so to me if I do not keep the words of this covenant. It was called cutting a covenant. And on this occasion, Abram was at home and he provided the animals for the ceremony. But in addition, Abraham made a covenant gift to Abimelech of 7 ewe lambs and said, "You will take these 7 ewe lambs from my hand, that they may be a witness that I have dug this well." And in this way, Abraham secured the well for himself and his future generation. From then on, the place where they made this treaty was called Beersheba. Beersheba means the well of 7. The well of 7 ewe lambs. Or the well of the oath. And a deep and ancient well can still be found in Beersheba today. And Abraham also planted a tamarisk tree, probably as a witness to the covenant. And the blessing that that secured was that although Abraham didn't have the promised land, he had a well there as a token, as it were, the first fruits of the blessing that God was going to bestow upon his people in the future. I'm not surprised then to go on to discover that Abraham had in his mind through all this, the Lord, the everlasting God. In the story of Abraham, we are introduced to a number of names for God. In 14:18, we are reminded that God is God Most High. In 16 and verse 31, we are reminded that God is the God who sees. He is the all-seeing God. In 17:1, we are reminded that he is the almighty God. And here in Genesis 21 and verse 33, we are reminded that he is the everlasting God. It seems fitting that at this time when Abraham had secured the well for his posterity, that he called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. Abraham believed that God had no beginning and no end. As Psalm 90 and verse 20 says, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." And it was because he believed in the everlasting God that he believed in God, in a God who would fulfill his long-term promises. There was no limitations to God's ability to do what he had promised he would do in the future. In Genesis 15, God promised Abraham a son and a vast family, and Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. There were times, as we know, when his faith wavered, and he despaired of ever having a son by Sarah. But now, in the grace of God, Isaac had arrived, and the promise that God had given him, that his posterity would be as numerous as the stars of the sky, was beginning to be fulfilled. And Abraham believed the everlasting God would fulfill this promise. In that same chapter, God promised Abraham the land where he was living, the promised land. And now he had secured a well in the territory, and he believed that the everlasting God would fulfill his promise and give the whole land to his descendants. But as we saw in Hebrews a little while ago, Abraham looked beyond the promised land to what the promised land represented, the heavenly city. And Abraham believed that the everlasting God would give him a heavenly dwelling place as well. And dear friends, this morning, this same everlasting God is our God. He is without beginning and end. Truths that apply to the triune God, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So in John's Gospel in chapter 1, we read the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We read of him, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Moreover, talking about Abraham, Jesus said in John 8 and verse 58, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the eternal Son of God. And in an amazing act of grace, our eternal God gives to his people eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The eternal God, through the atoning sacrifice of Jesus, deals with the sins of his people, past, present, and future. He is the eternal God, and reconciles us to himself. And when the time comes for his children to leave this world, we will go to be forever with the Lord. That's our glorious hope. In the meantime, as we journey through life, we can rest assured that the everlasting God knows the end from the beginning. At times, like Abraham, we may face big challenges and at times suffer disappointment. But we can rest assured that he knows all about them. And more than that, that he is with us in our difficulties. Indeed, he is with us all the time. Nothing can separate us from the love of our eternal God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Indeed, in those really tough times, as we were reminded right at the beginning, the eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And then finally, on that great day when our Lord returns, as Daniel 12 and 2 reminds us, many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and others to shame and everlasting contempt. This morning, may the eternal God be our refuge, and may we know that underneath us are those everlasting arms. Amen.